Next on BYUSN, is BYU men's basketball actually a top five team in the country right now?
Hey,
we'll react to where the Cougars are in the latest way too early top 25s. It's NFL draft week, and BYU's Tyler Batty and Caleb Etienne have been featured in several recent mock drafts. What are the chances they both get selected?
College football Hall of Fame quarterback and Emeritus 70, Gifford Nielsen gives his unique perspective into the role of NIL at BYU and the direction of Cougar football. And running back Sione Moa on what he accomplished in spring practices and what BYU is trying to prove in 2025.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Tuesday, April 22nd. My name is Spencer Linton, alongside a man who maybe once dreamed of running in a marathon, Jerem Jordan.
Never run a marathon. I respect those who do.
Me too.
I also think they're crazy because that's a long ways, 26.2 miles. By the way, wearing the Star Wars shirt because Andor Season 2 comes out tonight. Can't wait for that. Is BYU Marathon you? I think so. How about yesterday? We talked about it, but let's review it. Connor Mance finished fourth, top American, and highest American finisher since 2017, second fastest time in American history. Oh, by the way, Rory Linkletter, Canadian, sixth, second North American to finish. Clayton Young, seventh, the second American to finish. All three of those dudes were on the 2018 BYU cross country team. They somehow did not win the Natty. They took second, which is good, but not good enough when you're all top seven in the Boston Marathon. No, these guys are amazing. It was cool to see what they did, and this is Marathon U.
All three were Olympians,
yep,
running in Paris, and yep, now top seven.
Pretty cool.
In arguably the most prestigious marathon in the entire world.
I'm not big in the marathon game, but it feels like it's a big one.
Wow.
Yeah. You tell me. You tell me.
Outside of the Olympics, but that only happens once every 4 years. So annually, it's kind of the Boston Marathon.
Is it the biggest marathon? I don't know.
Is the New York Marathon? Well, New Yorkers and Bostonians can argue
they
about
get
this
along really well. That's what I heard.
It doesn't matter where it's run. They're all elite. And how about that trio? Well done, gentlemen. All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
I think this program's going to maintain its very high level of expectations.
Another opportunity for us to get exposure in front of NFL teams.
6'8", 330, first team all Big 12 left tackle.
You can see some things happen. You may see a pickup in the portal.
Welcome to a very entertaining offseason. If you haven't been joining us, where have you been?
Welcome.
There is so much happening. So while it's in season, Jerem, it's really fun, but the offseason has, in its own unique way, become very, very fun to follow BYU sports, specifically BYU football.
Good thing there's a daily show.
And BYU basketball. Transfer portal plays into that, and NIL, certainly, and some big-time coaching staffs. Today, we are going to play a game of what's the chance as it pertains to these off seasons and some big marks and big questions surrounding these teams. One for BYU football and the other for basketball.
We got a little graphic here. A little dice. Is that okay on BYU TV? We're okay showing that? We're good? Okay.
Let's roll with basketball to begin. Featured in multiple recent way too early top 25 polls as we look ahead to the 2025-2026 season. In fact, CBS Sports Gary Parrish has BYU ranked number five. John Rothstein, also of CBS Sports and one of Gary's friends, has the Cougars at number six. The Field of 68 podcast has BYU at number six. And ESPN's Jeff Borzello joining the fun, also at number six. Jerem,
wow.
What is the chance BYU basketball will be a top five team in the AP preseason poll?
Right now, it's looking pretty good. There's still movement to be had. People can still transfer. They can still move. So I say it's better than not. Give me 67.3%. That BYU is top five. Like, there's a chance they're not, but I feel like top 10 is happening.
Yes.
It is happening. It's just whether it's top five now. AJ, Richie, Rob, Kaba, it's pretty good. That stacks up with just about anybody in the country. Still need a few players, which, by the way, rosters are a little different from the NCAA coming up this year. In basketball, it used to be 13 scholars. Now it's up to 15. You don't have to give 15 scholars. You can give as few as you want, but up to 15. So it's still TBD on what BYU chooses to. They can also do partial scholarships now in basketball. They used to not be able to. It's like 13 full or and walk-ons or nothing. Now you can do some partials in there. So we'll see what BYU does. They've got about 9-ish players right now expected to return. So they have a few guys to put into the program. So I think BYU has a decent shot of being top five. Rob Ryan III's a 5-star transfer.
Well, he is
top
the reason.
30 guy.
He is the reason, along with A.J. DeBonta, that all of these national writers are like, okay, now BYU is elevated. And they're all assuming that
Richie
Saunders
Richie
is coming back as
we
well.
We know Kay was back. Yep. So it's pretty exciting. I'm not sure it could be much higher. Like, certainly if, you know, Darren Williams is in the portal, right? If BYU somehow got a guy like that.
Then BYU is a top three team.
Then they might be number one.
Good like, grief.
What?
Let's put this in perspective. In the history of the preseason poll rankings for BYU men's basketball, the highest the Cougars have ever been at any point was back in the days of Krešimir Ćosić. 1972-73, BYU entered the season ranked number 12. That's the best it's ever been.
It wasn't when Jimmer came back and that team. No, they were like in the 20s. It's like, what?
BYU was 24.
I go 24, barely in the AP poll.
Jimmer decided to
return
for a senior season. Number 12?
Show Noah Hartsock more respect.
So the idea that BYU is at even number 6 from 3 of these 4 national writers is incredible.
One time since Danny Ainge, BYU was preseason top 25. That's it? What? It's about to be preseason top 25 every year up in here, up in here.
It might.
This is a new era, BYU, of expectation, of hopefully result, right? In year one, BYU goes Sweet 16.
It's crazy.
Come on, bro.
What's the chance BYU ends up as a top 5 team in the preseason poll? I'm probably not as high as you. So I'd say like 40%. I do think 100% BYU's top 10. Like if it was
Rob Wright secures that.
Yes. Yeah. If it were top 8, then I'm probably like 80%. But top 5, I'm floating around 40, maybe 50%. But look, if they're number 6 or number 7 or number 8, awesome. That's history. It is history.
That's crazy.
That BYU will be there with this roster in year 2 of the Kevin Young era.
We haven't even added the number 1, number 2, depending on who you ask, player in the nation. Like, we're showing highlights from the McDonald's All-American game.
That guy's playing at BYU next season with Rob Wright and Richie Saunders, we think.
I still can't believe what's happening right now with BYU men's basketball. Like, I'm still coming down from the high of the cruise, too. Are we moving? What's going on?
Okay. Get Jerem some Dramamine.
No, that'll make you sleepy. Okay.
There's non-drowsy. Didn't you know that?
Well, I'm just tired.
Get Jerem some non-drowsy Dramamine.
My father-in-law's a pediatrician. I can get the good stuff. The NFL draft, Zofran. The NFL draft is just 2 days away. Tyler Batty and Caleb Etienne both featured in some of the latest NFL mock drafts. Here they are. ESPN's Jordan Reed. Etienne in the 6th round to the Chargers. Batty in the 7th to the Packers. Pro Football Focus. Batty in the 5th to the Texans. The Athletic, ETN, 7th round to the Chiefs. We wouldn't mind another BYU guy in the Chiefs.
Yes, yeah.
NFL.com, Batty in the 4th round of the Vikings, ETN in the 6th round of the Rams. Those are pretty good. I like that. What's the chance that both Tyler Batty and Caleb Etienne will be drafted?
So out of a possible 8 options there, because PFF and The Athletic only have 1 of the 2, but NFL.com and ESPN have both. So 6 of 8 there that these guys are going to get drafted. Pretty good chances. I am 50-50 on this because they're both projected late round. When you get to the 5th round, I feel like it's such a wild card.
It is.
I have no idea. If you're slated and projected to be like a 3rd or a 4th rounder, you're getting drafted. You will be drafted. But again, you get to that last day. If you have a 5th round draft grade, like often guys go undrafted and then just are free agents and can pick where they want to go. Like that happens a lot. So I'm 50-50 on this. I do think that one of them absolutely will be drafted.
Yeah, there will be one for sure. I'd be shocked if neither are drafted.
I feel strongly, 100%, that BYU will have at least one draft.
Do you feel stronger that 2 will be drafted than none will be drafted?
Yes.
I do too.
Yes. because of things that we're seeing that we just showed you.
No.
Like, they're on the right radars from several people. This isn't just one obscure mock draft that's like, oh, I got Batty as a fourth rounder.
Yeah.
Like, these are reputable sites.
It's not your mom.blogspot.com.
ESPN, NFL.com, and The Athletic, PFF. Yeah. Come on.
Although your mom is fully capable of doing a mock that I respect. I just want to put that out there.
Okay.
I'm kind of with you. I was like 49.8%. These are winners who have experience, who are quality. These are first team all Big 12 guys. These aren't honorable mention guys that put up a good three cone or whatever. These are guys that should be drafted. Excited for other guys to have undrafted free agent opportunities. Like Jacob Robinson had a monster combine. In Frisco. You were there. It was great. So I'm excited to see what these guys can do in the draft, because getting drafted matters. You need it for recruiting. You need to show that you put guys in the NFL. And there are two angles to that. One, the actual draft picks that stick, and then the undrafted free agents. We've always done a really nice job of that over the last 10, 15 years of putting guys in the league, whether they're drafted or not. You think about the Danny Sorensens and the Zane Andersons and the Dax Milnes of the world that have done a great job of making a nice career for themselves in the league despite not being picked. So it's not everything.
Dax was drafted second to last.
Sorry, seventh. Yes. Seventh round. Thank you. You sneak into the seventh. Great. You don't. Whatever. Like, not a big deal.
But it's, to your point,
do
with Daniel
you
Sorensen,
stick?
Yeah.
Do you stick? Taysom Hill was undrafted. Like, what? It almost doesn't matter. Like, if you're a seventh rounder undrafted, it almost doesn't matter. It is nice to have picks, though. And it's nice to have first and second day picks. BYU's not going to have that this year, which speaks to the team that was BYU. They went 11-2 without a bunch of first and second round guys. Now, in the future, we may see that there were guys that end up in that space in the next couple drafts. We'll see. But for this draft, best of luck to those guys.
Yeah, we're excited about the prospect of guys like Isaiah Glasker making an ascension.
Yes, Jack Kelly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are some dudes.
Keanu Tanuvasa is going to be a potential high draft pick in the future.
Can L.J. Martin take a leap as a running back and be one of those late-round guys like Jamal Williams?
Will Chase Roberts be picked next?
Yes.
There are dudes. There are dudes.
We're excited about it. It feels like Tyler Batty has the best chance, but Caleb Etienne did have a fantastic pro day.
I would think that Caleb, with his size and his athleticism, would actually have a better chance than Tyler.
Because I feel like Tyler, because he got invited to the actual combine, has the natural
that tells you a lot.
Leg up.
Yes. Did he give you eye-popping stats this year? No. But he had more picks than sacks. But you watch him play, and you watch who he is as a person and the impact he has on a team, and every NFL team needs players like Tyler Batty and Caleb Etienne.
Always difficult to replace guys like that. That is the challenge for BYU's coaches. And sometimes going to the portal to do so is a big part of that. Keanu Tanuvasa helps out BYU's defensive line, a portal addition.
Yes.
Okay. This Friday, the portal closes for college football.
It's today for basketball.
Basketball today. Yeah. College football is this Friday. What's the chance BYU football adds at least one more player in the portal by Friday?
Ooh, by Friday? I don't know about by Friday, but, like, period? Yes, they're going to add one. They're going to add a player from the portal at some point this summer, if not several. But by Friday, I don't know if it's that quick. It doesn't have to be that quick. Again, you get into the portal. You don't have to jump out of the portal at technically any points. A lot of guys stay in there and never come out. It's a weird place.
Yes.
You see some of the guys that have jumped in and where they're going. Part of this era, as we talked about yesterday, is you're gonna have people just leave, whether they were happy or not. Just there's various reasons for this. But luckily, I think BYU's in a good spot, like we talked about yesterday, to replace said guys. And it's tough to replace several of those names on there. But look who you have coming in. You have some real talent you're excited about.
Absolutely. If BYU is going to add somebody by Friday, because Keelan Marion was a little bit of a surprise and left, and because Darius Lassiter did not come back for another year and seek the exception, feels to me like wide receiver is the most likely spot that BYU would really move quickly to try and add somebody. We'll see.
Why Friday doesn't matter, though, for adding. I don't know why Friday's even part of this conversation, Frank.
Oh, sorry. I mean, like, if it were going to happen fast, I know that it extends beyond
the,
that.
The speed doesn't matter since.
But because guys, it feels like when you watch social media, are just like choosing now. Like, I mean, they're going left and right to like try and get to these programs, get there by summer. workouts, do player run practices, stuff like that. It feels like these decisions are going to happen soon. If it were to happen soon.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I think it's still, it could be another month or two for some guys.
Like, man, and that's, that. Don't you think that puts you at a significant disadvantage, though?
Spring ball's over. There's not a lot of good that can be had.
Listen, if you can get to a place and start throwing at the quarterback and likes in the.
Sure. I just don't think it does that much.
You don't?
No, I think fall camp does the most. I mean, yes, you can install and be around and study. Yeah, sure. It's better sooner than later, obviously, but. Friday. I don't know. What is that?
Got to hop in by Friday, then we'll see what happens after that. But I would like to have, if they're going to add somebody, obviously get the playbook in their hands as soon as possible, get them around the guys, get them into the culture, and see what happens. But here's the good part.
They never say in season, you know why I was good in this game? Because I got in earlier in June, and that they never say those words.
I think, to a degree, in the terms of Jake.
Or if they lose, they don't go, I should have gone in April. If I had gone in April, we would have been better today.
Okay.
I just don't think it.
All right. It's okay. Like I like guys to have more
exposure.
It
would be great if they did, though. They're like, let me tell you exactly why we won today. In April, I jumped in.
Our poll question of the day. What is more likely to happen? BYU basketball is a top five team in the preseason poll, or BYU football has at least two players selected in the NFL draft? It's a good question because the poll results are very close. Mm. Right now, 54% of you are saying more likely that BYU men's basketball is the top five team. 46% of the vote says football will have two or more draft picks.
Two good things, right?
Can we have
One of these is way bigger than the other.
Mm. Weigh in on
Top five is like having 10 draft picks.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Here's a conversation for another day. Which team will have more draft picks next year, basketball or football?
Well, that's a sweat. That's a good one. That's a good one. Okay, Lee Kamard signed a 4-star top 100 player in the 2025 class yesterday in Sydney. Benali, what do you make of what Coach Kamard has done in his first few weeks as head coach?
Relatively speaking, I don't think he could have played this any better. You talk about
she's a big deal, by
bringing
the way.
In an ESPN top 100 player, number 88.
Let's go.
Sydney Benali. And again, this is a two-time Gatorade Player of the Year in New Mexico.
Sign me up for all the players of the year around the country.
She's a player, and I've heard about her for a long time. They've been very excited about her
for a long time.
Now it's official. So to lock that in and bring her in with the momentum of bringing back Delaney Gibb, because when that coach's transition was happening, it was like, oh, man, is BYU going to lose the Big 12 Freshman of the Year?
Yeah.
You lock down the Big 12 Freshman of the Year to run it back. You bring back the freshmen, okay? I mean, Cambry Barber and Brinley Cannon to join Delaney Gibb as well as Benali. And then I know BYU needs some size. Trust me. Lee Kamard is working on bringing in some big-time size. But in the meantime, he's working in the portal, and he gets Kaylee Woolston to decide to come back. This has been a home run. For Lee, if he can just add some size.
Yeah,
now,
and that's where Lara Rokel, who's highlighted in yellow there, helps. Nearly a double-double out of the college of Charleston. One of her favorite players is Dennis Rodman. She loves his tenacity.
Rebounding for the win.
Olivia Hamlin averaged 28 a game last year, scored over 2,500 points, one of two players in Utah high school history to do that. You got Yusuf Bola from Nigeria coming in, who averaged 25 points and 19 rebounds a game in Japan. I don't know the competition level, but those stats sound good to me. And, of course, Fusa's sister, Mariam, out of Mali, will be here as well. So there's some talent coming in, which is very exciting.
Got to give a shout-out to Travis Hansen as well, because he obviously played a huge part in getting Yegor Dem into BYU men's basketball and that relationship. Travis is helping with women's basketball, too.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, he has stepped up. He loves Delaney, and he's working with Coach Kamard and that staff to bring some options to the table.
That's great.
International sport. On the women's side as well.
Yeah,
let's do
all
this.
All over the world. Love that.
All right, speaking of women's sports and a high-level program, BYU women's volleyball got their Big 12 schedule. What stands out as you look at the Big 12 slate, Jerem?
Now, as a parent, the Halloween home game again. Oh, man. No, but it looks good. It looks good. I'm excited about it.
Maybe it'll be an ESPN game.
Maybe.
They bring in another crew.
Not going to be an ESPN game, unfortunately.
Wishful thinking.
FS1, maybe. It looks great. I'm excited about it. They play everybody once. They play the four corners twice. I don't really like that. I would love – I mean, Arizona State, I like that. But I want to see Kansas twice. Mm. I like seeing Utah twice, of course. But Kansas is
Kansas
good.
At
Arizona
home.
State's
at least
good.
You get Kansas at home.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
The Utah games are always entertaining.
And that's the regular season finale. That's a good spot.
I love that. Good I'm with spot. You. Matches with Arizona State, like I feel like Arizona State in several sports has a chance to be a long-time rival for BYU.
Yeah.
I like those matches.
And one of Chris Burgess's daughters transferred. So that's a fun storyline.
Unique emotional dynamic.
One at Kansas, one at Arizona State, and he's at BYU. Three different Big 12 schools repped in that family.
Burgess Big 12 family.
Yep. Not bad, man.
Let's go.
Okay, BYU Sports Nation. Hey, we're going to be live from St. George this weekend. Join us 8 Eastern time. That's 6 local time in St. George at Sandtown Park.
Yep.
Coming up Saturday night on BYU TV, BYU Radio.
Looking forward to seeing many of you
yeah.
in the southern part of the state. After the break, BYU Hall of Fame quarterback and emeritus member of the 70, Gifford Nielsen.
Look at these highlights.
On the Crew shared his unique perspective on the changing role of NIL and how BYU Athletics is embracing it and using it the right way. This is BYUSN.
A kid named Gifford Nielsen that was playing both football and basketball.
Gifford, he was a senior my freshman year. He took me under his wing.
We haven't even got to how good we can be, you know.
I need KYU to be over here.
I'm thrilled to formally welcome our new head coach, Kevin Young.
We are live at Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. We are discussing BYU men's basketball and football at length in that opening topic. And turn our attention now to NIL and the future of college athletics, and do so by rewinding to an interview that Jerem and I had with Gifford Nielsen, College Football Hall of Fame quarterback, emeritus 70.
Elder.
And frankly, one of Jim McMahon's closest friends at BYU. So fun to watch those two interact on that ship. Here is Gifford Nielsen on BYU Sports Nation.
It is always a pleasure to have Elder S. Gifford Nielsen with us on BYU Sports Nation, and certainly to be here with you on the cruise. And I want to point out, we just discovered something recently with our friend Jamal Willis called statistics inflation, okay? So if you were playing at the time of Ty Detmer or after that, safe to say you would have thrown for, 5,000 yards a year?
Well, my statistical analysis of that is absolutely, of course, in fewer games. You know, it's interesting. The older you get, the better you were. And so I can't remember throwing any incompletions, only touchdown passes, no interceptions. And we won every game. Those teams in the mid-70s, we never lost.
Incredible.
That's what happens the older you get when you start telling stories to your grandchildren and things like that. Now, it's so fun to be here on this cruise with everyone. And you can
Island Day.
Yeah, it's like Island Night. And you guys really did well with your island.
Yeah, we got into it.
I was earlier today.
Yeah. Award-winning Jerem and Spencer.
Can't get their wardrobe right.
Spilled Jell-O on my shirt. I changed my shirt.
Yeah, we learned a long time ago there are no excuses. So, no excuses. Yeah.
Fair enough. So extreme accountability.
It's nice to be with all of you, and it's nice to be on this cruise with all of these Cougar-loving fans and to have the athletes, to have Kalani here. So it's great to share these experiences that we've had over the years together once again. So it's nice.
You had a lengthy pro career, of course, but the time spent at BYU is so short for so many of these athletes, yet it means so much to so many people. At what point in your life did you realize, oh, wow, what I did during that time in Provo will last forever for a lot of people?
Well, that's what has happened. You don't realize it at the time when you're playing. As a young player, you just want to go out and perform. You get your coaches together and they give you a game plan and you just go out and try to carry out that game plan. And you don't really realize the significance of the impact that it has later on in your life. And so, when we started, Lavelle was just a young coach. He finally put me in, and now he's got a stadium named after him. You know, it's like I kept telling him that, and you know, he's got his comeback. I took a slow quarterback, and I made him an All-American. So we always had our little jokes going back and forth. But at that time, we were establishing something that we had no idea would get this big. But it has gotten this big, and I don't know if I've ever seen a time where the momentum of what is happening, playing football, basketball, track and field, volleyball, soccer. I mean, it's just amazing what is happening at Brigham Young University and the quality of athletes that want to come here to perform and to do what they do best, hoping for that dream of maybe going to the professional level, no matter what sport it's in. It's really incredible what's going on right here.
No question, the trajectory of BYU athletics clearly on the rise. And you have a unique perspective because you've served in some prominent positions as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, have traveled the world. You understand this interesting meld of faith and athletics at BYU better than most. So from your standpoint, what are you seeing that is working so well to make BYU a place for everyone and also a place that is welcoming to people of all faiths and all backdrops that is certainly helping the athletics department go to another level?
So I'm seeing a lot of I'm seeing a lot of unity. And it doesn't matter if you believe exactly the way members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints believe. I mean, we saw a perfect example this year with Yegor. I mean, he comes here. He has no idea what BYU is all about. And he comes here, and he absolutely loves the environment. He loves being taught. He loves to go to school. He loves 17,000 fans screaming at the top of their lungs for their Cougars in the most appropriate way. And so how can you not like that? And I think that's I think we're getting really good at teaching that this is a very unique place. It's a place where you can come and you can be yourself. You have you have rules that you live by.
Structure, yeah.
But all of those rules are very positive rules. If I were a parent and I had an all-star kid and I saw what BYU represented and the support that you get not only in Provo but around the world, I want my kid to go there. And I want my kid to do very well. And that's what's happening right now. We're seeing it. We have quality coaches. We've got, you know, Tom has just done a fabulous job as the athletic director, and he will be missed, but he made his mark here in a very unique way. But he kept this thing going through independence and now even into the Big 12. Very impressive to see what he has put together and the foundation he has created for these athletic teams to continue to be more well-respected and revered in the NCAA scope of things, whatever sport it is. When you come to play BYU, we hope that everybody that comes here is going to see one of the most incredible things they've ever seen and know that they are in the battle for their lives because we want to win, but we want to win respectfully, professionally, and continue to do it the right way.
And you got to win to be relevant. If you do all these great things but you don't win, no one really knows or cares. Right now, BYU's winning, which is great. Been a lot of commentary the last kind of week or two relative to NIL and the church and whatnot. I thought there's been great commentary. The one that stuck out to me the most was Travis Hansen saying, we're about a transformational experience, not a transactional experience relative to NIL and the role of the church. And they don't give funds to BYU. They've got to earn that through TV revenue and sales and so on and so forth. Yet, BYU is able to get guys with extreme talent to come to BYU now that represent something greater and are great fits. What are you seeing with kind of what's happening, especially on the basketball side right now?
Well, let me just talk a little bit about NIL just for a second, because I don't think a lot of people really understand what's happening. BYU is always going to play within the constraints of the NCAA guidelines. We're not going to go buy teams. I keep hearing that. BYU's buying. We're not going to do that. We don't do that. We don't have to do that. What we offer an opportunity for a young player to come here and to refine himself in so many different ways, not just athletics, but you're going to get an unbelievable educational experience. And if you don't get it, Yegor said he's coming back to get his degree.
How fantastic is that?
Yeah. You know, I just think this is what we offer. We're not going to do the things that we're being accused of doing. And I think that we need to do a better job of telling people that we don't use tithing money for NIL. We're not ever going to do that. We're going to live within the constraints of what the NCAA rules are and how they're all put together and do it in a professional and respectful way. We have coaches that are understanding that right now. We've got athletic administrators that are understanding that right now. But we're going to go out and try and win. We're going to be competitive. We're not going to tell our players, go out on the field and just don't do your best. What we're going to do is we're always going to put forth our best, but we're always going to do it in a respectful and professional way.
How do you perceive, because I feel strongly about this, that a guy like Kevin Young comes in and athletes gravitate to him because he is no nonsense, but has this unique ability to counsel, to instruct, to make you better, to love, but he's not afraid to have hard conversations, but he does so tactfully. And guys in the NBA and the collegiate levels just seem to like that. And I keep hearing from several people, players' families, that Kevin's just got this secret sauce about him. There's something that guys want to play for a coach like that. And so when people start throwing out, well, BYU is just buying teams, I believe with all my heart that Kevin Young and his staff, like, they have gotten boosters to maybe help out and add more because he is the missing ingredient.
A guy
like
him.
They believe in him. And to your point, now BYU can play within the rules. It's okay. Like, they are competing that way, but he is the secret sauce. How do you see that?
I agree with you, Spencer, when you ask that question, because if you just watch Kevin Young during the course of a basketball game, does he ever yell at the officials? Have you ever seen him really yell at an official?
He didn't get a single tech, by the way.
No. What he does is he goes up and he puts his arm around him and he just kind of whispers to him and has a conversation with them. I didn't like the way that our guy was pushed underneath. Will you please watch that next time? It's one of the best things that I've seen with a college coach. And you can tell that these officials respect him. He's not going to go after them, but he will have his opinion about what is happening on the court. And consequently, the players see that, and the players want to play for someone like that. If they feel like, and especially with the way he's put his staff together and everything surrounding that staff, these players feel like that they're in a little mini NBA situation.
We call it NBA boot camp.
Provo.
Hey, it's a great way to put it, Provo. And so they come in here and they know that if they've got the ability and they've got the tools, they are going to continue to excel. Richie is a perfect example of that. Where was Richie? Richie's always been a hard player. He's always been an inspiration to us all with the high motor that he's got. But he has really increased his skill level. And if players stay here and stick it out, Kevin Young and his staff will get the most out of those players. I also want to say this about Kalani. Kalani is doing the same thing with Aaron and with Jay Hill and with the entire coaching staff. You come to BYU and play, you're going to have a chance if you work hard enough to play at the next level.
Amen.
Because Kalani had to figure it out. Kevin's been in it, right? But Kalani has figured it out and has done just a masterful job putting together his team to take players to another level, and that's why you're seeing a lot of players want to come here.
Juxtapose that with the presentation in the 70s. What was that like at Cougar Stadium?
Wow, we were just trying to survive, you know. We were trying to make this thing happen. But you know what, Jeremy, it's kind of interesting because this was the genius of Lavelle. He knew he had to do something. In his mind, he knew what he wanted to do. Wasn't sure how to get it, and then he hires Doug Scoville after having a meeting with Bill Walsh. Bill Walsh says, if you can hire Doug Scoville, you can have what you want, but you can't hire him because BYU doesn't pay well enough. to Lavelle's genius, he was able to get Doug here, and everything changed. Mm.
The legendary Elder S. Gifford Nielsen, so great to have you with us cruising.
Thanks, Giff.
With the Cougs. I know you had a rusted out 67. You deserved a brand new 74 Corvette Stingray for what it's worth.
Hey, I can just say this. You know, when we started this thing way back when, there was a dream that something like this could happen. And now we're seeing the fulfillment of that. That's pretty special.
Outstanding. Thank you for the time. So great to talk with you.
You bet.
Powerful statement.
Great stuff with Giff. That was awesome. If you miss any of our interviews with guests like Jim McMahon, Jim Fredette, Kalani Sitake, Gifford Nielsen, Cruising with the Cougs, and we had that fun many times on BYU Sports Nation's YouTube channel.
After the break, BYU baseball picks up a solid win last night, plus two BYU athletes named Player of the Week, respectively. We'll tell you which athletes did that in headlines on BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Back to Studio B, I am Spencer Linton, he is Jerem Jordan, and these are today's headlines.
Men's basketball featured in multiple recent way too early top 25 polls. CBS Sports' Gary Parrish, BYU at 5, CBS Sports' John Rothstein, and Field of 68, BYU at 6. Also of note, the transfer portal closes today for college basketball.
Tyler Batty, Caleb Etienne, both featured in multiple NFL mock drafts. ESPN's Jordan Reed has Etienne going in the 6th round to the Chargers and Batty in the 7th round to the Green Bay Packers. NFL.com has Batty as a 4th round pick to the Minnesota Vikings. Etienne going in the 6th round to Puka Nacua's Los Angeles Rams. PFF has Tyler Batty going in the 5th round to the Houston Texans, and The Athletic has Etienne as a 7th round pick to Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs. The NFL draft opens this Thursday night and runs through Saturday afternoon.
Women's volleyball Big 12 schedules out. BYU opens an 18-game conference slate on September 25th against Colorado in the Smith Fieldhouse. BYU played the four corner schools twice, everyone else once. Home finale is against Utah November 26th. Regular season finale is November 29th at Colorado.
BYU baseball beat up on Utah Valley 15-7 on the road in Orem last night thanks to four combined home runs from Chipper Beck. Great baseball name.
That's a great
Crew game. McChesney and Cooper Vest. With the win, BYU improves to 20-18 on the season. In other baseball news, Ryder Robinson of the Backcats named Big 12 co-player of the week when he totaled 10 total hits, 5 doubles, 2 home runs, and 5 RBIs.
Lee Camarda and BYU women's basketball announced the signing of 4-star and ESPN Top 100 player Sydney Banali. She's a 2-time New Mexico Gatorade Player of the Year from Albuquerque. She's ranked number 88 in ESPN's Top 100 players. Big time signing for the Cougs.
Mix Rominus of BYU men's volleyball, the MPSF Offensive Player of the Week after totaling 32 kills, hitting 453, and of course played a huge role in leading BYU to a sweep of number 7 Pepperdine. Rominus and BYU will play the winner of Stanford and Menlo on Thursday in the single elimination MPSF tournament.
It'd be weird if we got to double. That'd be wild. Let's go. Men's golf teed off in the first round of the Big 12 Championships at Southern Hills Country Club in Tulsa, Oklahoma earlier this morning. BYU, the 5 seed, currently tied for 7th at 6 over par. 54-hole event begins today, goes through Thursday. Best of luck to the boys.
Stay with us because BYU running back Sione Moa is about to break down what he accomplished during spring football and what BYU football is exactly trying to prove in 2025. This is BYUSN. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B, and it is time that we take you to one of the most exciting players, at least in my opinion, most exciting players for BYU and the prospect of what he can do in 2025. He is running back Sione Moa. Jerem, I spoke with him during the cruise about what he accomplished during spring football and more.
Greetings from Ensenada, Mexico. BYU Sports Nation is on location.
Hola.
We are cruising with the Cougs. Your Spanish has gotten better, Jerem.
Sí, señor.
Hey, speaking of Spanish, we've got one of our good amigos here from BYU football. He is running back Sione Moa. Sione,
yeah.
Welcome to Ensenada.
Hola. Gracias.
How has the cruise been thus far, a little more than a day in?
It's been fun. This is my first time I've been on a cruise, and so I think the experience has been just amazing so far. We walked around Ensenada for a little bit. It was a cool little experience, so it's been good just being here with all the fans and Kalani and some of my teammates too. So
No motion sickness?
I've actually been feeling it just a little bit, but when I'm like sleeping, I'm just rocking back and forth. I can feel that. So that kind of puts me to sleep. So I'm good though. Nice. Yeah.
Sione, as you look back on spring football and all the hard work that goes into that before you got on the cruise, what are you most proud of that you accomplished in this 2025 spring edition of BYU football?
I think gaining more trust from the offensive side, especially A-Rod, Coach A-Rod. I think he's really not only trusted me more, but just the whole running back room more. I think personally, maybe that's selfish for me being a running back, but I think personally for me, I think that's our biggest accomplishment is that he's able to trust us a lot more, using us in different things and whatnot. And so, yeah.
I really enjoyed watching last fall. There was a bunch of times where I thought maybe you were dipped in butter or something. No one could tackle you. What was your favorite play from the season? Because I loved K-State. I love the Alamo Bowl. There were a lot of awesome moments, man.
I think, yeah, Kansas State was definitely like my personal, my first touchdown. I think it was a great way to score my first touchdown in college football. But personally, I think that Keelan Marion's kickoff return touchdown against Wyoming, that one, I don't know, I was high just because I was in that one. That was my favorite, and maybe Kansas State the game after kind of ranked above it. But, yeah, those two are definitely top for mine. So,
remind us how many blocks you set on that one.
I honestly missed, like, a couple of blocks, but then I set the last block.
Yeah,
I thought it was pretty fun. Nice. So yeah.
That's all we were going to remember.
Yeah.
So, well, listen, when we edit the video, we'll only show the block that you got.
One, yeah.
We won't show anything you missed.
Yeah, you see me missing, and I try to catch up with Keelan, but he's too fast. But, yeah.
Sione, BYU football obviously accomplished a ton last year, 11-2, a remarkable season. So, and we've been asking this to a bunch of your teammates, what are you trying to prove this season coming off that 11-2 campaign?
We still got it, you know what I mean? I feel like people felt like we were falling off towards the end of last season. We still got it. We're probably going to be even better than last year. And so I think more so proving ourselves right than proving other people wrong is our goal. And so, yeah, I have high hopes, high expectations for us as a team. So it should be fun.
I don't know how much you can reveal about what BYU is going to maybe attempt to do with offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick, but all we've heard about from Jake Retzlaff and the other quarterbacks, the receivers, is more running backs, more running backs, yeah, more running back sets.
We saw a little bit at the end of the year. Right?
Two-back sets, yep. Three-back sets. Yep. Like, what do you expect to be different about this season offensively for the running backs?
I think, like I mentioned before, him trusting us and utilizing us more and more run packages, even out of like passing out the backfield, like doing routes out the backfield, maybe even the slot position. I don't know, maybe we'll talk to him about that and stuff. But just him utilizing us wherever, I think that's built our confidence as a running back room, because during spring ball he's seen more, like more of a better skill set, skill level. I'm not sure, but he sees something in us and we love it. And so
there are what, like six of you on the boat from the football team?
Yes.
How'd the six of you get the nod? Because this is awesome for you guys.
Yeah, I'm honestly not even sure. Like, they texted me and was like, hey, do you want to go on a cruise? Like, for free?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So now I'm here, and I'm having a great time so far. So,
how has your diet shifted from the end of spring ball to now on the cruise?
No, I think I've been in the buffet more than the weight room on the cruise, so that's bad. But that hopefully that'll change in the next 5 days, but every time I see Kalani, though, he's like, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to the fitness center. He walks away, and I just go to the buffet right there. So,
all right. But. Oh, that is hilarious.
We were talking about how you're from Victorville,
yes,
but you moved to Provo, went to Tiffy the last couple years, and then you went on your mission back to Victorville.
Yes.
What's part of your mission?
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I grew up 13 years in Victorville, California, moved my junior and senior year of high school, and I graduated young. I had just turned 17, so I waited a year to go on my mission. Got called back to San Bernardino, California, Victorville, in our mission and everything.
That's
and
awesome.
So it was a crazy experience. Yeah.
Okay, as we close out, I'm going to paint a picture. Let's say your good friend Ciale Acera is leading the linebacker core.
Okay. It just happens to be standing right
you
over.
You get a big hole from your offensive line. It's just you and Ciale. What happens next?
It's just me and Ciale in the hole? I don't want to say nothing because he's right here, but he knows what's going to happen. You know what I mean?
Like, they don't know, but they about to find out.
Yeah. Hey, what he said.
Hey, we appreciate the time. Yeah. Congratulations on getting through spring football. And good luck in the weight room and
the
at the buffet.
Room.
In the weight room. This one.
This weight room. No.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
Just hanging out in Ensenada with Sione. That was great. He's great.
Hola.
Hola. Gracias.
Say hola to the BYU running back room right now. LJ Martin, obviously.
All right, Dora.
Huge part of that. Sione Moa, we believe, is going to play a much bigger role this year for Aaron Rodgers' offense. And then, I mean, Enoch Nawahine, Pokai Haunga, who is super athletic.
Okay, getting to know Pokai a little better on the ship. This dude's athletic. He's backflipping all over the place. Like, I think BYU has some options. You have LJ, who you know who LJ is. Like, good vision, good feet in the hole. Is he going to outrun you for a touchdown down the field? Probably not, but what he's going to do is move the chains consistently, and he's going to have good ball security. Sione Moa was really hard to tackle this year. Enoch Nawahine had a couple moments where he was big. SMU game. He helps win the SMU game. LJ, tough to tackle him near the end zone, too. Pokai Haunga is the wild card here of how he seems very quick and what he can do. You have four guys that you're interested in there. It was a bummer to see Cale Breslin jump in the portal, who was a guy out of Vegas that BYU was excited about. We'll see what happens there. Again, we've had, what, four or five athletes jump back to BYU after being in the portal, so I don't rule all of them out unless we hear that they're leaving. So I'm excited about that room. I think that's a good room of some youth, some experience with LJ and Enoch, who are upperclassmen now, and so that's awesome, man.
I know Jake Retzloff is a confident, brash dude.
I want the quarterback to be that.
He certainly is that,
yeah.
And he said to me, in fewer words, we have the deepest running backs room in the entire country. And I was like, whoa, okay, let's just explore that for a little bit. Why do you feel that way? And he pointed out to the fact that he's like, it doesn't matter who's behind me, if it's LJ, Sione, Enoch, Pokai, like, I feel like there's a number one back behind me at all times.
That's great.
I thought, wow, that's
not a big drop-off.
He said that they made significant progress in spring football. The running backs specifically teamed up behind a revamped offensive line. He said they surprised me. Maybe if there's a position group that took the biggest step forward in the spring collectively, it's probably the running backs.
That's great because the O-line's going to be a little new. You have a couple guys coming back, but some new faces there. How do they gel together? And then can the running backs burst through the holes that they make? Because if you only run for what is blocked, you're not going to score a lot of points, right? And those guys got to block for a lot. But, I'm excited about the group. We know what LJ is. We saw some really bright moments from Sione. Enoch was good. And then Pokai gave us a little taste here and there. They redshirted him on purpose because they're excited about his future. So let's go, man.
All right. That is the running back room for BYU football. Good thing we have like three or four more months to discuss all
things
related to BYU football and those position groups.
If you miss any interview shows, Deep Blues, you can find them on BYUSN.com and the free BYU TV app.
We'll wrap up today's show with who earned the elite response of the day and, frankly, who gets today's rising shout out. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Our question of the day, what is more likely to happen? BYU basketball is a top five team in the preseason AP poll. A lot of people think they're top six right now. Or BYU football has two or more players selected in the NFL draft. Poll question associated with this right now. It's really close. 51.7% of the vote says men's basketball will be a top five team. 48.3% of you feel that football will have two or more draft picks. What's the chance that all of those things happen? BYU is a top five team and BYU has two or more draft picks.
I don't know. They made stats. It was a required class for
you. You didn't
you
take
and
it
I.
at BYU.
No, well, I didn't take any math. Stats got eliminated. Stats and math are not in the same department, apparently. At least I was told.
Okay.
For broadcast journalism, they were like, you have to take stats, and then they took it away, and I was like, sweet.
Bonus.
This is great.
Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated from @Roberts_MN on X, who answers, the NFL is more likely with ETN and Batty. Number five is just way too much to expect out of the Associated Press.
Given one time since Danny Ainge preseason. They don't care about the history, though. They just look at the roster.
Number 12, the best preseason ranking that BYU has ever had.
It's going to be the number one ever. Whew. It's going to be the highest preseason ever.
Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Rise and Shout-Out to Sydney Benali, the four-star who signs with BYU. Parents grew up on the Navajo Reservation there. She represents the Navajo Nation. Pretty cool. Can't wait to get to meet her. We're excited about Sydney Benali at BYU.
Our thanks to today's guests, Elder S. Gifford Nielsen, and BYU running back Sione Moa.
A Provo and a Timpview High grad.
Friends together at BYU.
Sorry to Dennis. Ran out of time.
For Jerem Jordan, I am Spencer Linton, and a final shout-out to Glenn Kozlowski. We'll see you back here in Studio B tomorrow. Go Cougs!
Remember when Glenn tried
following
to
the rules, they
tried
are
to kiss me on the air?